Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, we're grateful to have you join us here on Talk Straight and to engage in national dialogue of substance. All right? The number to call is 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We do have our topic for tonight, and we're going to breeze through our monologue here so we can open up the phone lines. 657-383-0944. We hope to have our callers to join us here from all over. Looks like we may have a call in queue. That bear with us, that caller. We'll be right with you. During a time in America and its history when many are fearful of the safety and the future of their sons. Hear this a lot. It is helpful to consider how one rears a young man, a male, to become a man. Moreover, in the context of citizenship, there is room to discuss male preparation for civic success in America and by extension, the world abroad. So join me tonight as we talk from the topic, teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. We'll find out who this him is. All right, June 7th, 2022, right here in the United States of America, state of Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, and abroad, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, Indianapolis, Peoria, Illinois, Jacksonville, Florida, Selma, Alabama. Come on, y'all, give us a call, 657-383-0944. We get right to our monologue here. Again, we're talking from the topic, teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 and 27 reads like this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, so said the text. Now, to fully appreciate the divine purpose and essence of a man, perhaps the most important factor to consider, as alluded to in the text, is that man is an expression of a divine thought from creation, concerned with extending the presence of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, in the earth continuously. The inference is that God desired man to possess his unique spiritual qualities and his physical makeup. Now, essentially, man represented a mechanism by which the Creator would continue to manifest himself and his will throughout the cycle from one generation to the next. More than just the mere physical form of matter, man existed as a supernatural force with the capability of expressing itself continuously. Every man, though, fights a battle within himself. The scrimmage is between his higher self, conscious, and his lower self, the dictates and the greed of the flesh. And most often, the best of people fall prey to their own selfish weakness and appetite and desire. They are not aware of the reasons for their behavioral flaws, oftentimes, because of a lack of knowledge of their own self and their purpose. It is not the spiritual self alone that is out of balance, though. It is the natural self with its diet and so forth and so on. Now, for the sake of understanding, the mechanical nature of man, let's focus our attention for a second on five essential parts that we see in him or functioning, make man up, of his head, the trunk of his body, his arms, his legs, and reproductive organs. Consider the notion of man being divided in two primary schisms. Stay with me here. The first schism being his upper torso that consists of his head, his arms are there, and his chest is there. The upper torso is synonymous to his control center, while the second being his lower torso, which consists of his loins and his legs. This lower torso is synonymous with his potential to expand, to move about, to transport himself, right? And even to reproduce himself. By use of control and expansion, what I mean is these are volitional functions. The arms are devices of manipulation. On the ends of them are your hands. Legs, natural bone transportation. You got your feet that'll take you somewhere. Your reproductive organs are your tools to recycle yourself. You notice how the text said male and female that made one man? Had the capability of recycling himself. Your head is where your thought and your conscience is. And lastly, your trunk is where your vital center is. Your heart, your lungs, your intestines, all of those essential things. Are you with me? In the context of higher spiritual function, the five extensions are thus explained. The head is the center of divine thought and instruction. The trunk houses the word of instruction from his creator and guides the vital function of his motivation, his will, and his domain that he lives. His legs allows him to be mobile as a vessel for the creator, always ready to go on an errand for the Lord. And lastly, through his holy matrimony. Watch me now. Stay with me. Through his holy matrimony, commitment in marriage, with his wife, he's able to recycle life in the earth for creation. Notice I emphasize in the context of a commitment. Cows and dogs and horses can reproduce. They're progenitors. What makes us men and higher form is that we have the ability to spiritually rear them with conscious and unconscious thought. Now, in the context of this lower self, what we see is that the natural function of the five extensions are explained like this. The head houses the brain and its nerve center. It sends messages to and from the various parts of the body. The trunk houses the heart and the most vital parts of man. I alluded to this earlier. It is the depot of man's basic function. Arms allows him to manipulate matter within his reach. Man's legs serve as his natural transportation, which enables him to move around and about. Now, let me tell you something. Some people, I've heard folk make reference to man as being men, as being dogs. Well, I got to stop you right now in your tracks and tell you, not a man. Now, you can have a little boy that act like a dog, and he could be chronologically grown, yes, sir, and never meets the level of responsibility as a man. Let me just put that straight now. Let me just set that out there. And I'm going to open up the phone now, 657-383-0944. I want to do right, so we're going to have a conversation here. And I might not be right, but somebody talk to me. Somebody talk to me. We're talking from the topic tonight. Teach him to be fruitful and multiply. When we look at these young folk and we see from a current event standpoint, the characteristics of those who have been engaged in the most dangerous and destructive behaviors and activities in various places as reported in the news, what we see all that they all have in common is young men who lack guidance, and there is an absence of a father figure in their life, as well as there is no focus and no purpose. Sit around playing video games, perhaps, all day. Sit around smoking dope all day. Playing with yourself, pray. I don't know what you're doing. But as soon as the air hits, bam, you don't know what, you just go crazy. Huh? It's just like letting a three-year-old get behind a Mack truck. Somebody is going to get hurt. You listen, talk straight. You talk from the topic. Teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. That's what we need to do here in 2022, this June 7, 2022. We go straight to the phone line. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. We go straight to the phone. We got St. Louis in the house with us. We got Jacksonville, Florida. And looks like we got Nashville here. 1098 is back with us tonight. Welcome all to Talk Straight. How y'all doing?
Good.
Come on, Jacksonville. Good, good. Good to see you. Good to hear from you there, Brother Outcast. I'm sorry, I cut you off there, 72. What were you saying?
I was just saying that we're right here.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And St. Louis, how you doing this evening, sir?
You know, you made mention of a man and dogs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I did.
And a female dog, male dog come up a ton, a female dog. It goes to the end of it and smell it. When a female is walking down the street past a male, he turns his head around and looks at the end.
Okay. Some folks do that, St. Louis. Not everybody. Some folks.
Well, I would gather that more males do that than not. Also,
I understand why you say that, but go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's why the world wear those leotards and those Joe Yoga.
Lord have mercy. They ain't messing you up out of St. Louis. They ain't messing with your head out of St. Louis. That ain't bothering you, is it? I mean, no.
That don't bother me, you know, once you get to a certain age. But here's another thing.
Okay.
Males used to run around on four hands. Used to crawl around. on their hand. Take your hand and hold the palm up and look at it. You got four fingers and a thumb, and look how that thumb is so situated. It's situated for being able to climb and hang around in trees.
Okay.
Look at your feet. Look at that big toe. That big toe has evolved to where it doesn't stick out like it used to be, similar to your hand.
Okay.
And then look in the mirror for those who still have profound or pronounced canine teeth on the lower jaw, on the each side, and on the upper on each side. They have receded over time because humans don't need them like they used to.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Mm-hmm. So what are you saying? You saying something? Talk to me. Tell me what you're trying to say.
I'm telling you that there's an evolution that's going on, continue to go on today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and some people don't. Wait a minute. And some don't even. Some won't. Some gonna get left behind. That's what you call natural selection.
I see. Okay. I was listening to you, but let me go to our rest of our panel here. You want to comment on that, Outcast or 3072? More importantly, our topic tonight, the need to teach young fellas in particular how to be fruitful in society and how to model, to do something with themselves, with their time, so they won't be void of contribution to humanity. What about it? Let's go with you, Outcast. You hadn't been with us in a while. What do you think?
I have to listen to 72 and see what she got to have to say.
Okay, all right. We're going to get close to 72 then. You're in the high seat, 72. Go ahead.
Outcast, man, you are the star of the show tonight. I yield to you. I want to hear what you've been up to. How's everything going? And
Oh, I'm good. I'm great, you know. Just been real busy.
Yeah.
Been real busy.
I feel you. Same here.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I think that we should, we have a lot to try to contribute to the youth, you know, today, this upcoming generation, as they are our future. But right now our future is kind of looking scary with all that's going on around. So, again, I think it's important that we are instilling the right things in the children. And whoever we can talk to and reach, we need to try to do that because we're in trouble.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You want to add to that, Outcast? I was going to opine when you got done, but I want to yield the floor to you guys first. And then you get in when you fit in, though. Go ahead.
Okay. I can say this about 72. You know, she's a female, and he has been involved with male, whatever, and she has children. And when she saw that the father wasn't meeting the standards, you know, she stepped away. When it comes to male and females, lying down, having sex, you know, sex, making love, whatever they want to call it, in the male, the father, he want to stand up and want to be killer, gangster, and things of that nature. 72 got out of that situation, but you have a lot of females, they lie down with these dumbed down, uneducated males, and have babies by them, and then they get old, and they say, well, you like your daddy. Your daddy was a killer. Your daddy was a gangster. He was a thief. And this is how they come up. You know?
That's true.
You know, I mean, call them like you see them, you know. Me, like yourself, Reverend Doctor, St. Louis, take my hat to you. You were 72, too. But at the end of the day, between that male and that female, someone has to stand up and take charge
and
lead
those
children in a different direction.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and this may be off the subject, but that's really interesting that 1098 had brought that up about the males, you know, and I've been watching a lot of talk about feminism, the feminine movement, and, you know, women just looking for husbands or men, and it's like you should be more submissive and just let the man take the lead. But like 1098 was pointing out, oftentimes in the younger communities now, they haven't been raised to be men. So with that being said, that's a tough and scary situation. It's like, I don't know, catch 22, you're damned if you do. Because, I mean, the Bible even speak about, you know, if you're going to take a man to be your husband, especially, he need, and I agree with that, to lead the household. But, again, where are you leading us?
Okay. Well, your great point. You know there are socioeconomic factors that come into play here, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is America and this capitalist society. The basis for caring for and keeping a home and taking care of children and a wife and so forth for a man is to have economic resources, right? And I think this is a point that you guys are making. In the absence of pro-social instruction, development, and guidance, how do they know how to do that? How do they know to, if they don't have a proper education and so forth and so on, how do they know what it takes to establish themselves socially, economically, right? That's not going to just pop in their head when they turn 18. You hear a lot of people say, I'd be glad when y'all turn 18. So y'all get out of my house. You know, outcasts are not like wild weeds. Just let them grow and go. Is that right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, see, I mean, at the end of the day, when we're young, well, a lot of people, well, me, myself, you know, coming up when you're young, we do things. Sometimes we be on the wrong path. Now,
right,
when it comes to the female was always supposed to be submissive, and the male was always supposed to be dominant, and it was all sometimes not going to church and things of that nature. You know, I'm a gang bang, I'm going to do this, but you still my woman. You know what I mean?
What?
You know?
Oh, no.
You know, I mean, think about it. Okay, now we gonna go in a circle with this. You know, we gonna cover this whole thing. Okay? Now, this did not go with every male and female. You know,
okay,
a lot of times when females got involved with males, you know, some of them graduated to the where they wanted the macho man and the gangster man, and this is still going on today. We all make mistakes. Life gets a test, you learn a lot later. But here's a saying: females, you know, they mature faster than males. At the end of the day.
Interesting. Okay.
And I hope for St. Louis to come in on
okay.
that. I hope.
All right. Well, I want to comment on that one as well. Females mature faster than males. What do you think about that, St. Louis?
It's true.
What?
That's why I'm at one point in time. You could marry a female when she was 12 years old. Then 12, 13, 14. But because they was mature. They was mature in the daily activities that it took to do and maintain a household compared to today.
Okay.
And really, today is still some states that you can marry that early with parental and court approval.
Yeah.
I don't know why to bring the court into it, but I guess I can understand.
Yeah, I got you. Well, let me push back a little bit on both you and 1098, okay? Let's have a little dialogue here. Females mature faster than males. Is it the case that they mature faster, or is it that society have a tendency to put more focus and emphasis on supporting her, encouraging her, and grooming her to be a woman, as opposed to, unfortunately, young males growing up without that specific and focus.
Yeah. Well,
is that, gentlemen, okay, 72 want to hear. What about it, 72? What about it?
Well, I think, I mean, that's partially true, but females, I think, are just naturally and God-givingly innate. We're nurturing, we're mothering, so with that being said, that's a very important key, I feel like, to life that people in general need, and which is how all this metrosexual and homosexual stuff come into play, because people feel like men should be in tune with whatever soft or feminine side they have. And
okay,
I agree to a very certain extent, because just because you're a man don't mean that you shouldn't have feelings, that you shouldn't care, you know, that you shouldn't be able to step in and take care of your child if your wife died, for instance. I mean, anything. But with that being said, that I agree with what you were saying with, you know, it's just the fact that oftentimes, because I've seen some very mature, strong young men that have had good fathers, but that's kind of rare. And it's not as often as it needs to be. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that both males and females come into puberty chronologically around the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
13.
Mm-hmm.
13. Now, actually,
mm-hmm.
young girls are able, sometimes to have a menstrual cycle a little younger, right? But males are also developing mature sperm cells, right?
Right.
From oogonia to spermatogonia, right? Same things for females.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and both of them can make a baby at a certain age. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they're mature, though. See what I mean?
No, because there are certain levels of maturation and maturity.
Okay. Talk to me now. Talk to me. Break it down to me like
that.
There's
levels to that. Okay?
Okay.
You can be mature and, you know right from wrong and, hey, this is what I do when this come up and this and that. But having the keys and the answers to every question and to the most major things in life, that only come with age and time.
Okay. And 3072, I would argue that, and I suspect this is the case across other ethnicities, but certainly outcasts in the African-American subculture historically, we've had a point where we had elders that were very visible and their voice of influence had an impact. But I would argue that within at least the last 60 or 70 years, that has been lost present generation.
Mm-hmm.
Such that key things that were best practices for success, building businesses, getting an education, starting a family, being self-autonomous. You understand what I'm saying? You ask the average young person, they don't have a clue about how to cook a healthy whole meal.
Right.
Do you know why?
Talk to
Do
me.
Do you know
Come
why?
Come on, give it to me like a, give it to me straight.
Do
me
you
straight.
Know why?
Tell
Time change. Life get a test, you learn a lesson later. You know?
Okay.
I mean, time haven't changed as much. You know,
okay,
every generation has not changed. You had good mothers.
Yeah.
You've had good fathers. You had bad mothers, and you know, it's vice versa. You've had men that women walked off in 1932 and 1617 and left the children with their father.
Sure.
Go both ways. See,
but
now in our society, what we want to do is, are we bashing male? Even in our society, this 2022, And I'm going to take you back down to the 1600s, coming back up to 2022. You had men that have walked off and left their mother with 7 or 8 children. You've had women that have walked off and left a man with 7 or 8 children.
That ain't been as much as men.
Give me 72.
That haven't been as often as men. Yeah, there's been a few cases, but it hasn't been as vast as men walking off and leaving their families.
Hold on now. 72, I ain't beating you up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you a definition of a man, and I'm going to tell me how does that comport with what you're saying. And,
okay.
So a man is a male human being who has passed being the biological male and his boyhood come into responsibility.
Sure.
So what man do you know that's going to walk off from his responsibility? Now, having said that, the caveat here is that it's very easy for a male who hadn't reached responsibility to do that or assume that. Can you see, help me with that? What man is going to walk away from it?
Well, then, what woman? Then she wasn't a woman then, whoever left her children. Then then she wasn't a woman. I was just pointing out, though, that whatever they are, aliens, the species, whatever you're going to classify them as, the one with the penis has been the one in the most that's been doing. I don't know what you're categorizing them as. Those two people that's not women and men. But, yeah, that's all I was saying. And it's not to beat up on anybody.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think that's a misnomer. I like the way John Blassingame describes it in his book, The Slave Community. He describes how part of the seasoning process was to strip black males of the right to control their marriages. They could breed children only in the context of helping their slave owners to have more labor force, right? But they had to get permission to be married during slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that this, unfortunately, is a residual effect of a process that was started when individuals were treated like cattle. Now, it doesn't make it
right. What were they treated like cattle at?
Let me answer that for him. During chattel slavery.
Where did that occur at?
In the United States and southern states like Mississippi, like
Alabama. Right, well, wait a minute. Hang on for that's a
go
good
ahead,
answer.
Go ahead.
Well, what about that? What was going over on the African continent? You never talk about that. See, nobody comes and all of a sudden you learn things. You have to be used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
mm-hmm.
jumps in the water for the first time and becomes a great swimmer. They have to be used to it. So all this stuff about blacks, quote unquote, that's what you want to refer to in body skin, that they was first introduced to that here in the United States, is just totally inaccurate and wrong. They knew of it and had knew of it for probably 1,000 years. Actually, longer than this. You're talking about 1619. Probably almost 3,000 years.
Hold your point, Sam.
Would you agree?
I don't agree, and here's why. Here's why. Your premise is based on the thought that the same mindset that existed in 1619 existed in 1817, right? Or 1717 during slavery. When the reality is part of the seasoning process was to take young babies and to shape them into good labor production. So they took the old men and those that would not go along, and they killed them, and they raised the boys up to be physically strong and mentally weak.
Where is it proof that they killed? Oh, they didn't even bring the old men. Why would you waste your time bringing an old person across the ocean? Let me finish, please. I'm asking questions.
Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
I'm talking about a place I've been all over. Where in the world would you bring an old person that's going that they couldn't work where they are, bring them across the ocean and feed them, and they can't work where they come into?
Okay.
I mean, that's a logical question, isn't it, Mr. Isn't it, Reuben?
Sure. I can follow the logic in your question, but I wouldn't.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, well, then let me add a little more. So to say that these people, these human beings, that's what they were, they were human beings, they all of a sudden came into something that they were not used to, well, that can't be true, because one of the reasons that they were gathered up and also gotten rid of, because, look, it was two ways. If you done wrong, you could pay it off by working, or you're going to be sold. Or worse yet, depends on the severity of it, you're going to be killed.
Okay.
So they knew about working. They knew about manual work. They didn't have no tools. They didn't have no mechanization. They knew about slavery because it had Africa taught the world slavery, especially chattel slavery, if you want to call it that. And real quick, the way you use the word slave is misconcepted, because the word slave was not used in those societies the way it is thought of here in the United States, except when you talk about when you go to work. I'm a slave at work. Well, yeah, you're right. So if you was a sewing clothes, or if you was a fishing, you was a slave for that activity. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. I wasn't there, so I'm gonna quote the record. And some of the best-known scholars that I know that described it are Lerone Bennett and Brother John Hope Franklin. They both do an excellent job of describing a process that's known by most historians, particularly African-American historians, as a seasoning process. And this is where they took individuals. The average age of a breeder was about 12.5, 13 years old. So you were considered old if you were in your 30s, right? And those, and actually, when we look at the story about Roots by Alex Haley, he described as well how at a certain point when individuals would not follow the direction of the slave masters as they were transporting them on the slave ships, they would literally kill them. Some of them jumped off the boats themselves. A good number of them died before they made it to American soil. Point is here, I don't want to get too far off on that. My point is that this was a process where males were breeding children, and it became accustomed to justifying psychologically walking away from them. Today, I'm not sure that that's exactly the thing, but what has happened is that through a new process, where the welfare system was designed such that it was difficult for a man and a woman to stay together and receive public assistance, particularly African Americans, because of the policy.
And how is it? Well, let me talk about Jerome Bennett, and I want to ask a question on that, too, because I hear that all the time.
Lerone.
Where did he get that information from? Lerone. I don't think he'd been to Africa. And what's the other one's name? Franklin, the preacher?
John Hope Franklin.
Yeah, I read something. He never been to Africa. He never sat in rooms and living rooms and ate with people and talked with the elderly. That's what you call primary reference.
I don't know.
I know it makes you kind of angry, but I've been to these places. It's not like it's infeasible to do things like they say. Now, was it hard here? Yes, it was. It was for practically every members of every ethnic group. You can name them.
Okay.
So, what you're talking about, human beings.
Well,
but
I think what
was that?
I think your point, St. Louis.
On what side of the river?
Your point is duly noted. Yeah, one second. I'm coming right to you, Big Bro. Let me recognize Selma, Alabama, being online with us. And then I'm coming right back to you, Selma. Let me go to Outcast. He's adding to the discussion. Go ahead, Outcast. I'm sorry to cut you off.
But whose fault was that?
With what?
African kings over there, they were fighting against each other, and they helped send us over here, and you had one female that stood up and said, no, stop sending our black people to America. And it was Madam Tenable, and she was a woman. That's an unheard of history that was told.
Then. Okay.
You hear
okay.
me? Now, black scholars. Listen to them. Now, no, listen, it's an unsung story. When we talk about the United States of America, who helped send us over here? Our black companions over there in Africa. But we prevailed at the end of the day.
Okay.
You know, and you know another thing, too, okay?
We are strong men here in the United States of America.
You,
it's 2022. We are strong men. We're
educated something
men.
Else, too. They had curses put on them, too. That's the way they did. Some people call it voodoo. Some of them call it Hanks. They had curses put on those that they sent out because you got a debt that's still lingering. You got pain that's still lingering. And we can talk about curses and that and other aspects, but we don't want to talk about that. So there's a lot of truth to it.
Okay.
But at
right.
the end of the day, St. Louis, at the end of the day, these black people, they listen to these so-called scholars and things of that nature, but guess what they miss? They miss the big picture. Who helped send our forefathers and foremothers over here in the United States of America? Who stood up and fought against slavery? Sending the blacks over here in Africa with a black woman.
Okay.
And said, you hear me? A black woman stopped it. Her name was Tenable. She fought
and they talk about
to stop sending slaves over here in America. No, they don't talk about her. You know, even in the Bible. Right.
Here we go.
See, women don't
let me,
no
let me bring
respect.
Don in. Guys, let me bring Don in right quick. Let me bring Don
Dockery.
In.
It's Dockery. I want your brothers to hear me well. The order of the day is nationality. There is no continent called black. There is no continent called white. So when you get to talking black and white, then we don't get down to the oil that's coming out of Nigeria. Nigeria ain't called black. Oil coming out of Nigeria. Let's get on down to
business. Amen. Amen.
I get sick and tired of brothers running around here, jip-japping their mouths, talking about some black and white. There's natural resources coming out of our mother's homeland that we don't have control of. That's
all right.
Sad.
All right.
This 2022, and then Trump running around here in the Bohemian Grove. He ain't emphasizing nothing what Lincoln did. Then you get, listen to this, Ms. Dockery. Benjamin Turner, the first, if you at that time, African American congressman out of Alabama ain't got a historical markup down here. Rose Sanders down here jip-japping her mouth wasn't even down here in 65. And I got to say this too, Mr. Dockery. One of my dad's side hoes caught you the other day at the bottom of the bridge.
Easy, done. Easy.
I hate to say it like that, but I caught you.
Okay.
Sitting there, me and an Italian girl caught you.
Okay.
Mr. Dockery. And I ain't made a dime out of Tennessee.
Okay.
Don's finna get right now. Talking about, what they talking about? Trump and the white supremacists. Here come Don. Don coming home to Tennessee. Tell
let
the redneck sheriff I'm coming, Mr. Dockery. Hope
all
you
right.
do come in
all
my yard.
Hold on.
I ain't
gonna
die. This is my ass. You ain't from Tennessee. Go on back up to Chicago. All game over. Didn't get a dime. No, sir. You weren't even born there. Jackson done killed Nicolene, and you run around chip-jabbing with some folk on the dog on her way talking about some black and white. All coming out of Nigeria now.
Big brother, I want to hear from you, but you ain't going to run over my show now. Come on now. Be nice so I can be nice. I want to hear from you, but I ain't going to let you run over my show. All right? We want to hear you. You got your opinion, just like everybody got noses. Everybody got opinion, and they got other things, too, on the other end. But be respectful. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to hear from you. Just hold tight. Let me give you a minute to simmer down. We're talking from the top. Teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. Now, I want to hear from you, gentlemen and ladies. How can we tell these young brothers in 2022 how to be fruitful and to multiply? We see the cases of them, 18 to about 25, 30 years old. Too many of them are misguided, have no focus, no sense of purpose. That's not everybody. It's not everybody, but too many of them. That's what we're talking about tonight. Don, I'm about to bring you back in. Be respectful, or I have to take you right back out. Yeah, give me 1 second.
Make
up. Okay. Give me 1 second, please. Let me set order. Let me set order now. We're going to have order now. Go ahead, Outcast, and then we'll bring you in, Don.
Yeah, with
Outcast.
Each other. Come on now.
Go ahead, Outcast. Go ahead, Outcast. Go ahead, Outcast.
Don, I'm still talking. I can hear.
I can hear from 72, please.
Okay, we'll hear from him. Just
what is
did
it?
You have some?
What was
go
going
ahead,
on? Oh,
ain't
I was just
on.
Listening. Yeah, I was just
okay,
listening.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I got something to say about that.
All right, go ahead, St. Louis.
See, you're talking about teaching some young people, young men, something
that's
they
right.
ain't never seen. They ain't never seen it. Never had. See, here's the thing.
Okay.
As much as you want to, you can't miss nothing you ain't never had. You can't.
St. Louis,
see,
have you seen it? Have you
see,
seen it?
No, right, I've seen it. Look at my kids. My kids ain't out there that great. See, I had a wife. I established a family. I provided for that family. My wife didn't have to want. My kids didn't have to want. I made sure that happened. That used to be commonplace in the history of mankind.
Okay.
It's commonplace in the history of animals, which taught man.
Duly noted.
So if
Duly
you
noted.
Don't have those things in place, I don't care. You can read and sing and gossip. All it ain't gonna work. And if it was going to work, why are we complaining about what don't work and the conditions here in 2022? If you ain't got the family, it ain't going to work.
Question for you, from me to you, sir. Are you willing to take your experience and come run with me and get them to those that don't have it?
I'm going to work with my family first.
Okay. Second. Let's
and see,
second.
Here's the thing. That's what you're supposed to do. You work with your family first. You make an example out of them that people can look at. As I heard one Nigerian couple say to a young lady that I was working with from Nigeria, Ibu, they told her as we departed, make us proud.
Great.
That's a key
that
verse.
Good,
that's a key verse of what they do. You got churches on every damn corner.
We ain't talking about churches.
Look at St. Louis. You got three people getting ready to go to prison. You got Louis Reed, the president of the Board of Aldermen. He ran for mayor. You got Jeffrey Board of Alderperson. And you got somebody that came out of BLM movement in St. Louis, Robert Muhammad. They getting ready to go to prison.
Big brother, can we talk about you and me tonight? And Don, I want us to talk about what we can do. Outcast,
I don't done it.
You okay?
Thank
so
you.
So your answer is no. You're not going with it. You're not going to share it anymore.
I have done it.
Okay, so will you do it some more?
No, just like
yes,
the old man on the boat. They didn't need him because he was too old. He can't go out there marching and walking around.
All right, well let me.
The only thing you can do now is talk. Then people don't want to listen. You can't make them listen.
I got you. Let me move on then. Let me move on. Big brother Don.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dockery.
Come on, take it slow with me, Don. I know you don't got
Mr. Dockery, the only thing I'm saying is the language that we use, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we stop coming to the microphones, over the airwaves, in front of the Senate, in front of the House of Representatives, using language that don't uplift our people. Civil rights is not divine rights.
Okay.
Civil rights was started by, what's his name? Thomas, I'm trying to think of his name. He's a congressman out of Ohio. Come on, let's get down to the base of the words that we are speaking.
I agree with your premise. I don't have a problem with speaking from a context of nationality. The only trouble, Don, is there are 330-some million people, and about 13.5% of them are what we have referred to at one point of time as Negroes historically. They were referred to some as colored, some as Afro-American, some as black. And today the common expression is African-American. There's the confusion, big brother. And that's what
I know. And listen to Miss Darker. I ain't Negro, black, colored, or none of that. I didn't join none of that. I wish I would join a Greek fraternity. Listen to this, Miss Doc. You know what really teased me off? I'm right here talking to a 24-year-old girl. Big grown-ass women. I hope you got something to say. Jesse Jackson wife got shit in her vagina. Obama wife got shit in her vagina. I don't want them to say nothing to me.
Ask that clear, Mr. Dockery.
Well, can I ask Don a question?
What the hell did you go on Downton's Abbey and Dawson, Caligula, shit in his vagina? That's what she did.
Okay, Don. Don, you're going to have to clean it up.
Don, nothing. That's what she
did.
60 years old.
You're 60 years old. You can talk better than that. I'm going to hold you to account. Now, 3072 have a question she want to ask you, Don.
So, Don.
Please let her ask it. And don't talk about vagina and shit and all. We're not doing that tonight, Don. Okay? That's the last time you're going to do that. Or we have to extricate you from the conversation. Go ahead, 3072.
So, Don, are you there, brother?
Go ahead, talk. He's listening.
Okay. I was just wanting to ask him. He was saying what he identifies with. And I kind of, I'm on the same level, too, with just first identifying as a child of God and a human being. So, but what do you identify yourself as or, you know?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. I was around my father in Chicago. A young man came around. He was tied in with the L. Rookins. He was kind of playing a gamer, and I was checking him out. But what I found out about the Moorish Divine National Movement on 43rd and Calumet. And that's what I done found out. In a movement situation, they send spies in to throw you off target.
Okay,
I've been watching
you identify as a Moor. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I'm Moorish American.
Okay.
I got birthed there on 43rd and Calumet with Brother Bonzeal and Sister Bonzeal.
Okay.
They came up under the umbrella of Shelbyville. So I've been watching them, been listening to them, and they're getting really sickening. And with this Trump thing and the Jesse Jackson network, it's really sickening. Because I come to find out Trump is Bohemian Grove. That is not no Lincoln Republican.
Okay. Well,
thank you. I got my eyes on
them. I was just curious.
Yes, ma'am. I'm watching them.
Okay.
And like I said about Michelle, I tell them in front of their face, I get sick and tired of women coming around me, getting with men that go to bed with other men. I won't see some women that don't even tolerate no mess like that.
Okay.
All right.
I want some upstanding, righteous women be women.
Okay.
You going to bed with other men?
How
would
they know if the men are in the closet and sneaking around with other men? I mean,
hey, they need to know something.
Monkeypox come from. That monkeypox is coming from men having sex with men.
That's what they're saying. That's what but they said that about AIDS. I mean.
AIDS 72. Come on now. Yeah. We ain't talking about no monkeypox and all that.
They're gonna be making you take vaccinations.
Obama put an executive order with that out there, Mr. Dockery. You can't deny that. Ain't nobody in the country can deny that. I'm looking for my damn self. But six serve God and a man that they ripped my taxpayer money. God and a man that went to bed with another man.
Okay. Say Lord, we're not calling for that. That's what they're doing
in China. They are going to do that. Watch and see.
As long as you're not doing it, you ain't got to worry about it. Yes. Go ahead, Pastor Wallace.
Oh, hi, Pastor Wallace. I didn't know he was here.
Yeah, how you doing, 3072?
Hey, bud.
You got the floor.
Yeah, I'm just being a great listener, man, but I wanted to see if I can ask a question, if it's all right.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You know, there's a day right here that's been put together that I didn't make. So I don't know no more than I'm in this day.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm willing to say that since he said this is the day that the Lord has made, I'm just going to trust that he did. He deserves to rejoice and to be glad in it. But it seems like what's going on right now, it's a lot of anger for whatever reason it is. But check this out. I want to also say this right here, that the word of God does say that God is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order.
Right.
So he does things decently and in order. See, being that you are the host of the show, the order is follow your order. And if your order is not being followed, then there's no need to proceed to continue. And I know that's not the case because you are a man that's doing all you can do. And I heard you trying to find out what to do about the kids and the people that's out in the world and these kind of
things.
And you raised a question. You raised a question not too long ago. You asked an individual, are you willing to take and go do certain things? And they said no. Okay.
They said no.
That right there is enough evidence to say there's no concern. You know, you take care of your kids, you do all that, but you're still reaching out to others. And you take care of your kids first. I understand that. But you did say second and still no. So that's okay. So now let's move on to find out who's willing to step out of their yard and do something in their neighborhood. And let's get back on that. And I think it'll be just fine. But let's do it in order, decently and in order. You're the main line. And let's respect him because he is the main line. And I yield back to you on that note, man.
I see what I'm going to do for my neighborhood.
Hold on one second.
Back to your hands, Pastor Doctor.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the text. Back to the text, Genesis 1:26-27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the cattle, and over all the earth. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says this. So God, Elohim, created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. Now, why do I bring that back up? Simply, that is the pretext for what we do to teach these young men to be fruitful and multiply. What was God's purpose for? What were you created for? You were created in the context of manhood and the advancement of God's creation over time. As if you listen to my monologue, what I describe is that process and how God engineered mankind, male and female, to be productive and reproductive and to extend on these things. Here we are in 2022. And young people are being exposed to all kinds of things. They're trying to get them now as early as kindergarten and planting all kinds of seeds of salt and age. That's a parent's responsibility to teach character and identity and get children on the track to where they identify who they are and what they're going to be and what their purpose is. Nobody has that right but a parent. But unfortunately, in our society, I see why so many young men, in particular, are unfruitful, and they're not able to multiply much good in the context of contributions to society and humanity. All right. With that being said,
that's a good point.
St. Louis,
you were going
to say something.
Well, I was going to say this. See, in our family, it's the patriarchs that take control. If a husband dies, that children go to the grandfather. And you have the uncles and the brothers that help raise them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't need nobody. We don't have those problems in my family. And one of the things I do to make sure that my community is good, I go to the board meeting, I tell them, talk to them, you need to hire some very, very good police officers. Hire some of them white ones from out there in such and such county. They good. They come into your community and they protect it. Somebody try to invade it, they kick butt. That's what they're supposed to do. You don't come into a community and disrespect it. and you sit around and say, well, we're going to pray on it. Because you've been doing that forever, and you're still complaining. And now you want others to come join in on it. Well, they don't want to do it that way. Because if it was worth right. anything, you wouldn't be complaining about it today.
Gotcha. We heard what happens in your family, and you've already made it known and established that keeping that to yourself. Now let's talk. We got 3072. We got Brother Dunn out of town and Pastor Waller home. Let's see if we can get an alternative thought to some ways we can reach these young folks, teach them how to be fruitful. Dunn, I'm going to press on you, big brother. I know you have some great ideas. Tell me, Dunn, what's the first step to teach them to be fruitful and multiply, Dunn?
I heard you say something just then, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been around a young lady, and I've been sitting with her and her company, and I've been watching what she watch on TV. And you're right, Mr. Dockery. We done let our children get a hold of this poison that's on this, what, two by or something like this. They watching all this P-Valley and all this mess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I done caught you, Doc. I'm 62.
Well, okay.
And that's what I'm sitting there looking, and I'm kind of shocked.
Well, now let's fix it, Don. Let's fix it.
But like I said, like you were talking about developing man, Mr. Dockery, I'm going to tell you what I have done. And since my sibling came and attacked my dad, I'm going to tell you what I did. I went research when my dad endorsed Charles Percy for senator. And as I was researching, I remembered him telling me Charles Percy was the chairman of the International Harvester. So I kept researching, and I went back to the point where him and Minister Farrakhan did the Islamic conference at the McCormick place. And I kept researching that name, McCormick. McCormick produced tractors. I got to looking it up. McCormick make tractors over here in Georgia, but there's no McCormick dealership here in Alabama. Oh, plenty of businesses to make money. Laying down here, setting up dormant, and they got a seed place right here in Selma, and right now, Mr. Dockery, in the Opportunity Zone, that's for sale, and ain't none of them trying to buy it. To grow no food to feed none of the babies down here. It's sad.
Okay. Now, Don, I didn't hear you give me a method, a suggestion about how to teach them to be fruitful and multiply. That's what I'm looking for. Do you mind? Let me go to 72. Maybe she have an idea. And I don't mean to put you on the spot by saying that. I got a lot of them, but I'm trying to leave the floor open there. And I know Pastor Waller got some ideas. We're going to hear from him too. 72, any ideas about how we can teach them to be fruitful? We know what the problem is. That's well established. You have any ideas about moving forward?
Again, just getting out there into the community and not staying home because our home is okay, but, you know, we still got a job to do. Just get out there and see what we can help out with.
Okay. All right, Pastor Walt, what say you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say this, Pastor Doctor, because it is very, very important that the Word of God does say that we men who are strong all to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I didn't say that. The Word said that. So I like to stand on what the Word says. So I can't please myself anymore. I got myself together, and I know to be able to be fruitful and multiply, I know what it's like to multiply in a bad way. You know what I mean? And so what I would suggest is for somebody who have had an experience such as myself to get out there and encourage people to let them know that you're going to multiply in wrongdoing or you're going to multiply in uprightness, you know. And so I would suggest, because I've learned that, to be willing to have compassion and meet the people where they are. Just like if they don't have no experience in how to be fruitful and multiply, and I do, and I hold back from them, I withhold from them good information, then it's a sad situation on my part because I got something that can help them, but I refuse to let them know about it. That tells me it's selfish, and I don't want to be selfish at a time like this when God has been this good to me, 3072, and he brought me out of what I was in, and he said, look, man, go out there and tell somebody what I've done for you, and then I don't do it. What is that saying to me? That's saying I don't care. So I care so much to the point where I stay doing it, man. I stay being out on the street just in case somebody may come up and ask me how did I do it. That's mm-hmm. what we need to do. We need to be an example. That's what we need most of. We don't need nobody that don't care, because when they don't care, it's like a waste of time. And so,
yeah.
you know, to be able to know that you care, man, some kid may walk up and say, man, how did you do that? And all I have to offer is the way that I've done it. Not to be literal, just to say, look, and I believe you can do it as well. And
mm-hmm.
that's how we reached it. I just put
okay.
that suggestion out there.
You know,
it's been,
okay.
it's been very, I'm not finished, but it's been very fruitful. And I've seen multiplying in the, I'm talking about in such a way, it's not like a decrease, it's an increase of people having a desire. You know how at 37-2, you got to start somewhere. So
that's
if a person
right.
just have a desire, you know what I mean? They said, well, I didn't know that, but now I have a desire. At least they have something, because if you
mm-hmm.
add up nothing, from nothing leaves nothing. And then if
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get some other ethnic group to come and say, oh, now they'll do right, because I'm bringing somebody else in that care more than we care. That's the problem that we've been having for a little while here on this land. I think this show been going on for a little while, but there's been kind of to the point where, you know, you can tell when one care about now, and you can
mm-hmm.
tell when one don't care about now, you see? So we don't have to try to force one to care. We just have to
right.
appreciate those that do care and then keep on pushing, because the word says, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. That's when he says he'd be in the midst. But the confusion,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to be in the midst of that, because he's not the author of it. But it's up to us to know that the schemes of the enemy will use people to try to distract people who care. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor Doctor. There's a scripture that says that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, 37:2, this is what it says. Unless Satan
mm-hmm.
is advantage over us, but we're not ignorant of his devices. See, I'm hip to his game and how he played, because I used to dance with him. I know his voice, and he worked through people.
Mm-hmm.
I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor. Stand firm. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep reaching out, because there may be some one person that's listening to you that's seeking help, and they're just grateful that you're talking about doing something for them.
Amen.
And with that, I turn it back over to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So, Don, do you know what it means to train?
You said frame, like frame a house?
Train. T-R-A-I-N.
You said train?
To train someone, yes.
To train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To
teach them.
To train. Yeah. The
yeah.
text, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, here's where the problem is. And this is where the rubber meets the road in 2022. There is not appropriate training. To train means to teach in order to make one fit for action. See? And young folk are out here being exposed to experimenting with everything and everybody's business except for what is sound for their mastery and to make them fit. See, that's a societal problem. Now, I want to echo what Pastor Wilder said. I'm not here to put a gun to anybody's head to make them do anything. But I, for
mm-hmm.
one, seek to train. Teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. They can be destructive real well. Don't nobody have to tell them much how to do that. But when it comes to building something, establishing themselves first, and building onto society, yeah, we got a lot of issues, and we've been around here in America for a long time. Some of us have, anyway, longer than others. The reality is, what are you going to do with yourself then? Yesterday
Mr.
is gone. Hold on. Let me finish. I'll come right to you, Don. Tomorrow
mm-hmm.
may never be mine. But I'm asking for help for my sake to let me take today, one day at a time. We're going to do some teaching. Go ahead, Don. What you
well,
got
right there at that farm
oh.
you came to, Mr. Dockery. I went home
yes.
last week. When I went home, now you use the term train. My grandfather, my mama's daddy, on that farm
yeah.
used to make
okay.
plant beards. Now,
okay.
the ones behind me, James Edward would be behind me. Behind James Edward would be J.J. Behind him would be Steve, and then the rest of the boys. Jigginell's two boys. I don't think none of them have the experience that I had with my mom and daddy making a plant
beat. Okay. All right.
See?
All right.
When you talk right. about training, they don't know nothing about no plant beat.
Okay.
See?
We're going to see.
See what I'm talking about? Okay. That's what I did with my mom and daddy. A plant beard. What is a plant beard? It makes plants that you start your plants off in a plant beard. You transfer your plants from the plant beard to the setter to plant them in the field so you can produce your fruit so you can have something on the market to sell.
Sounds
Ain't
good.
None of them boys up there know none of that or none of them young men.
Okay.
And Mr. Doctor, include my cousin, Jiganeo, wasn't with my mama's daddy when he was doing that. But I was.
Well, go ahead, St. Louis. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, what I was going to say, too. You don't go down to where somebody at. When they come, they supposed to be wanting to make the team. Just like in football and basketball, you trying to make the team. The team don't stop and come down and play at your level. You got to play at their level. Same thing in education. When a child first go to school, they should know some things that they should have been taught at home in order to prepare them for the grade that they're going into. That grade, the fourth grade don't come down to where the third grade is. The third grade goes up to where the fourth grade, where they want to be. Some people just got it backwards. It don't do it like that. Well, if you know, it's a funny thing. We can let our kids get involved in football and basketball. All kinds of time. Basketball, out there shooting 100 throws, trying to be increase their three-point shot average. But they don't go home and do 100 math problems. Therefore, they go to school in that classroom where other parents don't have their kids in them gyms, on them courts, shooting balls instead of wee hours of the morning. They got their kids at home studying. Learning what the next lesson is going to be when they go to the classroom. That way they don't hold the classroom up. And worse yet, when they fail, then the parents come up there talking about racism.
Okay. Well, let me say this. Prior to integration, what was very common, a very common learning environment for children of African-American, the African-American experience, was a one-room schoolhouse, particularly in the South. And what was interesting, they had mixed grade levels in that one room. That room doubled as the church or the worship center. So they took the church seats down and all the stuff that was set up for worship service, and they put the chalkboard up and the globe and everything for learning. What am I saying? I'm saying that even though they had people in there from different chronological ages, and levels of understanding with reading and math and arithmetic, the teacher understood how to teach across the curriculum with a multidisciplinary approach and reach everybody. So the expectation wasn't that you come here knowing. The expectation that when you leave here, you go know. See? And that's what we got to do today. We got problems, yes, and I assume it makes everybody frustrated. Okay? Here's the question. Who's willing to roll up their sleeves and to put the work in? One last question, 3072, I want to ask you before we leave. We got 15 minutes. You got a 24-carat diamond on a 14-carat gold ring. You with it, 72?
Yeah.
It falls in a commode that's full of feces and all sorts of things. I'm sorry, sir. I hope you ain't eating dinner, 37. How valuable is that ring?
I mean, it still has its value. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get it out of there, but, I mean, the bottom line is when I wash all that mess off, literally mess, it's going to be still worth what you just said.
Watch it now. This is the real question, Pastor Wallace. Despite where it is, where it has fallen, who's willing to retrieve it and retain its value? I wish I had a friend church tonight. I felt my help right there.
You make a call, somebody to specialize in it that'll come and help you get it. It won't be no problem. Just
come on now.
Sit back and watch you get it. Just watch me get it for you, because I care that much about
what?
You. Just
Uh-oh.
Sit back and show you how to do it. Yeah, see, you don't know how to go off in there and get it like I do, so let me show you how to do it. And maybe somebody like that, see, God, it's called a ram in the bush.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that care. You know, always remember. Just always remember, brother. It's like it's something that you may be able to do, I'm unable to do. And if you're able to take care of it, then I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get it out of there, because we know the value of it. We're going to get it. And that's just how we do it. Together
and
we
stand.
And
someone may argue that. Somebody may argue that, well, if you crushed and bent it all up and this and that, however, it's still a diamond. So it can be repaired and put back together again to make a new
diamond. I got to answer
that. Yeah. So it got worse now. Even though it's embedded in waste material, it still got worse.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
I got an answer to that. You hear this right here?
What is that thing?
That's an ounce of gold.
Okay.
23.99.
All right.
See, I keep my stuff where it's safe. I ain't going to be juggling it over a toilet. I ain't going to be howling over a toilet. I keep it where it's safe. That's when you show that you're responsible. And you show an accountability to yourself for wrong words and any other people.
Okay.
This gold.
Okay.
African gold.
Safe,
and I keep it safe. Now, wait a minute, I ain't finished. I keep it where it's safe. I don't be juggling over the toilet. So that's the same thing with my kids. I didn't let my kids play with them other kids. You know why? Because I know stuff runs off. It depends on how they was taught and was not taught. That's how you have to protect things. Same thing with your wife. You don't let every idealist with a different idea on what clothes should look like. You don't have let your wife be wearing that mess. Skirts, hems of the skirt just beneath their middle section, a vulva. No.
Let
a designer come into your community selling and peddling clothes that's just not appropriate. You got to protect with vengeance.
Got it. Point well. Your point is established. Point is established. Who was that? Was you, Pastor, you saying something? Before we're going to go around.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the question that you asked. I think you just used the illustration, you know, and I think that illustration was very, very important to say, okay, things do happen. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, it's not about anything other than that what you were talking about. Things do happen, and you have to still utilize people that you have to call if the air conditioner breaks and you don't know how to fix it. Whatever it is, that's something that takes place. You know, it happens. So, you know, that's just the world in which we live in. However, there's always a solution to a problem, and then you just go into the solution and you work it out. You don't complicate it. You don't try to make it be something that is not. I mean, that's the real world. See, when you're in the real world, the issues of life, you know, they take place. You know, I'm going to say this. I have to turn it back over to you. The Word of God said, I didn't say this here, man. I didn't know this first, but I found out that someone stand on it. Jesus said these words. He said, in me, you'll have peace. But in the world, you'll have tribulation.
That's
be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, ways of making things work out for you. Just know, you know what I mean, that trials and tribulations, things happen. And you know, sometimes it's out of your control. And you just do what you best you can. And that's the good news, man. So it's like keep it real simple. I don't have to complicate it. Just real. God is real. And, you know, that's just where it is. I didn't make this day, and I don't know if somebody on this line can say that they did, but I know I did. I can be honest with myself. Somebody made this day. And I just like to trust that whoever made this day, also. That's what I can say, man. You know,
all right.
Gave us a chance to be on the line right now. So, just be encouraged. Be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing.
We're going to do what we do. Listen, I got 10 precious minutes about as precious as that 14-karat diamond ring. And I'm going to give you the first.
I'm going to let you go first. Give me a final thought, but thank you for joining us tonight. I hear and feel your passion. We just like we have a certain decorum that we maintain here on Talk Straight, though. Give me a final word, Don, if you like.
Mr. Dockery, I had to come like I come because the last election, guess what I saw? The election was false. That's what I saw.
Okay.
I saw it because Benjamin Turner plaque wasn't up. I saw it because Miss Becky, the librarian, don't have no civil rights movement books in the library in Selma, and she the daughter of the Confederacy. I saw it where the lady was running Cornerstone that was a daughter of the Confederacy. They had two men staying in her neighborhood that had been participating in curricular. So I see how you had the whole thing set up.
I guess.
So that's the reason I came. So I'm tired of your falsity. You got falsity going on. So my closing words is this. I pray that people will start being real and being true to themselves and everybody around them and quit playing games.
All right.
That's what I'm praying for.
That's a good prompt. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. 72, what about it?
I just think, again, the care, compassion, and the concern has to remain in order for people to, be active and at least trying to help, trying to make things better.
Yeah. We're going to get there. Hey, it ain't over.
Yeah.
The Fed lady ain't even walked in the room, let alone picked up the mic. She ain't going to sing yet. We got work to do. And no offense to the Fed lady. I'm fat myself. My wife tell me you're fat self. But that's all right. We're going to work on that, too. Thank you, 72, for joining. St. Louis, give me a final word right quick, brother.
Go about the old style ways of teaching your kids. My kids never was in the church. Don't believe in God and the Bible. But those that do, so much for them. It depends on what your society is doing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir, for joining. All right. Well, Pastor Wallace.
All right, Dad. Pastor Doctor.
You know what to do with it, man. You know what to do with it.
Amen. Check this out, Pastor Dr. God is an awesome God, man. I so appreciate how you put things in perspective. You know, you put it in perspective in a minute, man. And all we have to do is just keep on believing in him. And then there's a word that says, let those that be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Mm. That's what they want to be. That scripture said that. I didn't say that. And I remember when I saw that in there. And I remember when I used to be ignorant. So I said, I don't want to be ignorant anymore. So I turned my life over to him because he said, whosoever trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walked wise and shall be delivered. So when I got delivered, 3072, I never wanted to go back to be ignorant all over again. See, I can admit that I was ignorant. And that's not a bad thing. Even Paul himself admitted that he was ignorant. And he just was unlearned. He didn't know. But once he got a chance to know, man, he got on the Lord's side and started working for him. So we just got to keep on pushing. You never know. Somebody might admit that they are ignorant and you want to get a God to be fair of a try, man. But you got to keep on pushing because
God is able.
Say that one more time. Is he able or is he ain't able? He's so able, brother, to the point where there's a guy named King Agrippa. He said that Paul almost convinced him to become a Christian. Hey, I'm talking about, in other words, he was listening. He was listening to the point where he said he almost, 3072.
Yes, sir.
He said he almost now. So that you know right there, he was still paying attention. He didn't shut down as if he was closed-minded. He was still open-minded and had a heart to change. It just takes time. Some get there sooner than others because God is able to change the things, man.
All right.
Yes,
two young pastors, thank you. You've been listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the topic, teach him how to be fruitful and multiply. That's what we're going to do. Two young men, MacFadden and Patton, I believe is the name was called, they said, ain't no stopping us now because we're on the move.
Go ahead.
Huh? Ain't no stopping.
Go ahead. Don't stop. That's it.
Finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way.